You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names.
You stupid brute!
Idiot! You North!
Moron!
This is Michael O'Donoghue welcoming you to the National Lampoon's Traditional Christmas Show.
Hello, boys and girls. I'm Miss Joan. Wouldn't you like to come with me and find out how the boys and girls in other lands celebrate Christmas? You would? Well, hold tight, children, because right this minute, we're going to board our imaginary airplane and fly all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to England, just so we can take a peek at the happy holiday goings on there. And before this record is over, we'll have flown around the world and back home again. Won't that be fun? First stop, historic Great Britain, where Christmas is a-coming and the geese are getting fat, where our Santa Claus is known as Saint Nicholas. Many of our best-loved Christmas customs originated in England, bringing home the Yule log, decking the house with boughs of holly and ivy, and exchanging kisses under the mistletoe. England, too, is the land of Dickens, and as we walk down the gaily decorated streets of modern London, it's fun to make believe we can spy some of the folks Mr. Dickens wrote about. Isn't that Mr. Pickwick over there? And here comes Tiny Tim. But now, let's listen to a traditional English Christmas carol, one that Dickens himself must have known and loved. We could stay for the arrival of jolly old Saint Nicholas. But it's Christmas Eve, and we have a lot of other exciting places to visit. So we must say our goodbyes and climb back aboard our plane. Next stop, Germany, where Santa's known as Kris Kringle.
Dear King Gasper, what did he send? Jesus, I wish Mommy would keep tags with these things. Oh, here. Dear King Gasper, thank you so much for the lovely frankincense. I know it'll come in handy. I know it'll come in handy at school. I know it'll come in handy after school. Damn, what is frankincense anyway? I know it'll come in handy, period. It's just what I wanted. It was so nice of you to remember me, your friend Jesus. All right, let's get done with it. That wasn't so bad. Here we go. Dear King Melchior, Mother of God, what is this stuff? Oh, Jesus, it's myrrh. Wouldn't you know it? One of the richest kings of the East, and he sends me an aromatic gum resin. And that wrapping paper, poinsettias, holy Christmas. Still, must be big about it. Any gift, however humble or squalid, gets a thank you note from me. Dear King Melchior, thank you so much for remembering me.
It was such a nice surprise to get your unusual gift. Everyone who sees it says it's the nicest hunk of aromatic gum resin in their entire experience. If you know what I mean, let's have lunch soon, your friend Jesus. Just one more. Balthazar. Now, what did he send? Why, it's a generous pile of priceless costly gold. How thoughtful. I've always thought that King Balthazar was a superior wise man, if you know what I mean. Dignified, refined, and such good taste. Dear King Balthazar, it was such fun to see you over Christmas, and I can't tell you how much I enjoyed getting your lovely gold. It'll come in handy at school and after school, too. Not like a lot of other smelly gifts I could name. Listen, we're giving a little dinner party over New Year's.
My, my, children, aren't we having fun? Here we are arriving in West Berlin, and it's time to decorate the Christmas tree. Fritz and Frieda, our little German friends, have already put up the strings of different colored lights, which will sparkle all through the Christmas season. Now they're going to add the many pretty hand-carved wooden ornaments for which Germany has always been famous. And maybe, if you're very, very good, you can hang the tinsel. Miss Joan will put the silver star at the very tippy top. Oh, how beautiful. Did you know that the custom of decorating the Christmas tree originated in Germany? Now Fritz and Frieda and all their little friends are going to clasp hands and sing a song about the Christmas tree. They call it O Tannenbaum. So we reluctantly bid farewell to the beautiful Black Forest and hop aboard our imaginary airplane once more. We're on our way to Brussels, where a statue of a little boy, just like some of you, has been made into a fountain that hundreds of people come to see. But right now, here comes the stewardess. I bet she's going to ask us if we'd like a nice glass of warm milk. Oh, but wait a minute. There's a man standing in the aisle behind the stewardess. He has his hand around her mouth. In his other hand, he's holding a gun. If you ever play with guns, boys and girls, remember, it's not good manners to point a gun at anybody. Miss Joan will be very, very angry with you if she ever sees you point a gun at anybody.
You are listening to a rehearsal of the entire Kennedy Family Children's Tabernacle Choir. Its 10 members are assembled to present Senator Bobby's Christmas Party.
Are these some of the Christmas cards we received today, Ethel?
Yes, and aren't they beautiful? This one is strange.
What's so strange?
The funny little button. On this card from J. Edgar Hoover.
Just don't talk into the card, Ethel. I think it's bugged. Ethel, look at this nice holiday note. It says, it's the quietest Christmas I've had in 1 year, 3 months, and 11 days.
Oh, who's it from?
Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, look, Bobby. This card must be from Dr. Timothy Leary.
Yes, isn't it clever how it's printed on a daffodil?
Yes, that certainly is different. Do you suppose all this funny-looking writing means Merry Christmas?
I really don't know, Ethel, but we better not show it to the kids.
Here's a card addressed to you, Bobby.
Now, let me see. Oh, wait, sir. From a Mr. Samuel Davis, Jr., formerly of the Will Maston Trio. You see, it says, Happy Holidays, baby, and thank you for all you've done for my people. And the Negroes, too.
The man who is playing the trick on us with a gun says we should all do exactly what he tells us to do, unless we want to celebrate Christmas in the middle of the Mediterranean. Now, I don't think that would be fun to you. The man with the gun has some friends with him. They are part of the Black September movement. They say that they are from Palestine. Now, that is another name for Israel, or as we sometimes call it, the Holy Land. Maybe we will get to find out how they celebrate Christmas in the Holy Land. And we could go to Brussels another time, couldn't we? This little trick the man with the gun is playing on us will be over very, very soon. Miss Joan is almost certain. And then we can visit some of the many lands around the world where Christmas is celebrated, like the African Cameroons, where they build a Christmas tree out of betel nuts, or Australia, where Christmas comes in the middle of summer, or Bangladesh, where the boys and girls eat their Christmas tree.
This is the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Many Americans are surprised to find that Christmas, a Christian holiday, is celebrated in the Soviet Union, where atheism is official policy. But one look at the huge portraits of Karl Marx in a Santa hat, the red and green lights strung all around Lenin's tomb, and the thousands of candy cane and icicle symbols that have replaced the more familiar hammer and sickle everywhere, tells you that Christmas is just as important a holiday in Russia as May Day or the anniversary of the October Revolution. Actually, the seeming conflict between communist ideals and Christian teachings really never comes up, since Christmas, as it is celebrated in Russia, has no more religious meaning than it does in the United States. But of course, there are differences. In the Soviet Union, Christmas, or Marxmas as it is known, is compulsory, and comrades who don't take part enthusiastically can look forward to spending a year or two in Santa Carl's workshop at the Russian North Pole in Siberia. The Christmas spirit of fun, good cheer, and happiness is rigidly enforced by secret police in Santa suits who patrol the streets, making sure that everyone shows the proper socialist spirit. Their Tommy guns are taped with red and white candy striping, and bulletproof pillows in their coats give them a jolly look. But everyone knows they mean business, and when they stop passersby to ask them what they want for Marxmas, the answer had better be further triumphs for the victorious socialist system that is rapidly transforming the whole world into a winter workers' wonderland, or words to that effect. We'll join a typical Russian family, the Ivanovs, Vladimir, Tanya, and little Ivan, as they celebrate Marxmas. Our first stop is GUM, the huge and only department store in Moscow, where Mrs. Ivanov is doing some last-minute Christmas Eve shopping. This year, the popular gifts seem to be hammers, wrenches, galoshes, and felt, possibly because these are the only items in stock. Let's listen in as one of the store Santas asks little Ivan what he wants for Marxmas.
Ho, ho, ho! Well, my little tovarich, what do you want Santa to bring?
Further triumphs for the victor. The victor is socialist.
Good. Well, now, I have made a list. I have checked it twice. I have ways of finding out if you have been naughty or nice. Are you a good little fighter for communism?
No, Santa. No, I swear it.
Good. And your parents? Do they say funny things about our leaders, huh?
Yes, Santa.
They make you laugh. Is it so? Funny, funny things, huh?
Yes, Santa. Never.
Sometimes they say things that are not just right, huh?
Yes, Santa. Oh, yes.
Well, what gifts you like for Marcus?
Further triumphs for...
Yes. Gifts for you, presents.
A model train.
Yes, not can do. Revisionist elves sabotage model train plant. How about a hammer? Or a wrench? Or a pair of galoshes or some felt?
Good.
Do svidaniya, tovarich.
До свидания, товарищ Санта.
While Ivan has been talking with Santa, Mrs. Ivanov is putting up with crowds a bit heavier than Americans are used to, even in the Christmas Eve rush. She's standing in line at the socks counter, and right now she's 4.5 blocks away in front of the U.S. Embassy, where she's taking part in a staged caroling demonstration.
Once again, comrades, with more spirit.
No oil, no oil, no oil.
The first one again.
Oh, puppet city of West Berlin, your statues we do not recognize. Revenge's enemies cannot win. Did you realize?
Meanwhile, Mr. Ivanov is at Medium Machine Factory No. 9 on the outskirts of Moscow, where the mandatory company party is in full swing.
Yes, Comrade
Ivanov,
have you drunk a quarter of
what? Yes, I have drunk 1/4 liter.
The other workers are exceeding their quotas.
That is very good, Commissar. I shall exceed my quota, too.
Excellent spirit, Ivanov. Let us drink to Santa Carl.
To Santa Carl.
According to my list, comrade, you have still not pinched Olga Chernoyevsky, Katrina Korienko, and Kashka Golienko.
I will attend to it, Commissar.
Good. But wait, Comrade Ivanov. Where is your lampshade? According to the program, you are to wear a lampshade on your head and dance the Cossack dance while shouting, I am one Jesuit cosmonaut.
Ah. I thought I was supposed to put my head in the prune punch and blow bubbles.
Нет, нет. It's right here. I've not lampshade dance.
Perhaps if I just stood on my head and did some gymnastic tricks.
Нет, we will follow the jolly schedule exactly as laid down by the ministry.
Yes, Commissar.
Later that night, in the Ivanov's 1/2-room apartment, the family gathers to decorate the marksmith tree, which, due to the traditional transport difficulties, is a marksmith's pine cone.
A resolute marksmith to all.
Well, Vladimir, how was the party?
I am one jazzy cosmonaut.
Oh, Vladimir, you are such a joker. Shall we decorate the cone now?
Put the button on it.
There. Now, Vladimir, you shine the flashlight at it. Well, isn't that nice, Ivan?
Hooray.
Then, as the family sleeps, and nothing is stirring in the house, not even a running dog lackey of the imperialists, little Ivan dreams of salt plums and the thud of heavy boots in the hall as Santa comes to kick down the door in the middle of the night and fill the 2 left-footed stockings he has hung up by his bed with presents.
Open up, comrades! It is Santa Carl! Ha, ha, ha! Ha, ha, ha! Ha, ha! What is this? The radio stand to Radio Free Europe. I would put coals in their stockings. But unfortunately, it is in short supply just now. Nice stockings. They're both left, but they're real nylon. I think I'll just take these along. A careful marksmith to all, and a cautious new year.
The next morning, after the family has opened its presents, and Mrs. Ivanov has admired her felt, and Mr. Ivanov has tried his galoshes on, and little Ivan has played with his hammer and his wrench, the family is off to Red Square for the Marksmith Day Parade.
Look, Ivan, there goes Santa in his mechanized gift carrier.
Yes, Ivan, there are the intercontinental balloons, the candy canes.
Oh, and look, there is the float of the birth of communism on the collective farm. See, Ivan, 3 Weissen, Mark, Jules, and Lamina are following the red star to the tractor shed.
They are bringing gifts to Mother Russia for the social society.
Yes, Ivan. Look, they have hammers and wrenches and galoshes and some felt.
And here comes the Santa Carl's little helper's communist league. Oh, don't they, Mark? Nice.
We must hurry to the party hall, or we will be late for roll call at the Marksmith services.
Are they going to read all of Das Kapital this week?
No, just the first 12 chapters.
Oh, good. I wouldn't want dinner to be spoiled.
Yes, Ivan. Remember, today we have roast cabbage with all the trimmings and lint pie with vanilla ice water.
And so we bid a fond farewell to the Ivanovs and to the Soviet Union. Just one of the many lands where Christmas is a special time of year. And to all of you, make the traditional Russian Christmas wish a very painless Marxmas and have a new year.
Traditional Christmas show will continue right after this commercial message.
Honk, honk, why it's Wobbles the Goose.
But oh, what its tongue could do.
More of the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
XM Comedy.
Oh, dippy.
The Little Dublin Singers will now perform the traditional Irish carol, The Holly and Ivy Girl, followed by Mr. John Scanlon reading Sean Kelly's A Child's Christmas in Ulster.
One Christmas was so like another in those years around Waterside now that I can never remember whether there were 12 papish killed on the 24th or 24 papish killed on the 12th. All the Christmases roll like an armored patrol down Shankill Road, ricochet round my brain like rubber bullets in a bogside boxcar, and into the fray I dash to salvage whatever I can find. Into the gas cloud, bottle bomb melee of Belfast memories, I scramble, and out I come with Mrs. Shaughnessy and the Tammies. It was in the aftermath of the day of Christmas Eve, and I was in Mrs. Shaughnessy's back alley waiting for Catholics with her son Tim. Patient, cold, and callous, our faces covered with nylon stockings, we waited to clobber the Catholics. Wild-eyed and drunk as lords and horribly whiskied, they would stagger or slink, saying others and parters and rattling their beads down the cobblestones, and the sharp-eyed gunners Tim and I, King Billy's dragoons from the Battle of the Boyne off Crumlin Road, would fire our deadly dum-dums at the red of their eyes. The wise Catholics never appeared. We were so still. Black and tan marksmen lying in ambush for the Mayo flying column. that we never heard Mrs. Shaughnessy's first scream, or if we heard it at all, it was to us the far-off lament of a papish banshee over the smoking ruins of Cork. But soon the cry grew louder. "I.R.A.," cried Mrs. Shaughnessy, and we ran down the alley, our rifles in our hands, toward the house, and glass indeed was shattering out the windows, and automatics were rattling, and Mrs. Shaughnessy was howling bloody murder, as was appropriate at the time and place. This was better than all the Catholics in Ulster with targets pinned to their greatcoats standing in a row. We crawled to the threshold, cradling our rifles, and peered into the door of the pitch-black room. It was pitch-black with reason, and so was Mrs. Shaughnessy, who was rumored to be very high up in the Women's Auxiliary of the Orange Lodge. She was sitting in the middle of the room saying, "A fine Christmas," and clawing away at the smoking tar with which she was smeared top to toe. "Call the constabulary," she bellowed, a surprisingly talkative tar baby. "They won't be here," said Mr. Shaughnessy. "It's Christmas." There were no IRA men to be seen, only Mr. and Mrs. Shaughnessy, and she black as coal and rubbing away at herself like Aunt Jemima as Lady Macbeth. "Do something," she said. We fired a round or so out the back door. "I think we missed Mr. Shaughnessy," and ran out of the house to the telephone box. "Let's call the army as well," Tim said, "and the V-Specials, and Ian Paisley, he likes riots." But we only called the Royal Ulster Constabulary, and soon the paddy wagon came, and the tall men in helmets rushed into the house with Thompson guns, and Mr. Shaughnessy got out just in time before they opened fire. Oh, nobody could have had a noisier Christmas. And when the policemen ran out of ammunition and were standing in the destroyed and bloody room, Tim's aunt, Miss Shaughnessy, came downstairs and peered in. Tim and I waited very quietly to hear what she would say to them. She had the gift of gab, for sure. She looked at the three tall policemen in their brass and helmets, standing among the smoke and ruin and her expiring sister-in-law, and she said, "Would you care for a drop of the crater at all, at all?" Just yesterday, when I was a boy, when there was trouble in Ulster, and the night sky was bright orange as a 12th of July flag, we ran riot day and night down streets that reeked of fear and pee, and we chased with tins of petrol the superstitious nuns and leprechauns through the wassailing streets of Christmas in the north, when it rains and rains. But here a small boy says, "It rained last year, too. It washed my whitewash slogans off the walls, and I cried." But that was not the same rain. Our Christmas cloudburst rain was wet as martyr's blood. Our rain roared down the gutter like beer from a blown-up public house. Our rain glistened on the Macintoshes of the patrolling bee specials till they glittered like Christmas trees in the flare light. And it swept the bits of bodies and such down the true blue sewers out to the Protestant sea. Tell about the presents. Ah, the presents. After the dour and sour-smelling service, the presents. There were useless presents, toys and dolls and King James Bibles, crayons in various shades of orange, red, white, and blue, never, of course, green, and a pair of socks or some candy. Go to the useful presents. Plastic bombs and ammo belts, spring knives and knuckle dusters, blackjacks and cherry bombs, or ski masks for tugging over your mug till your own mum wouldn't know you were a mugging, toy guns that looked realer than the real ones, and a shrill whistle to summon your friends to call the Tommies to save your hide, and a booklet that warned in big, bold type not to make incendiary devices out of the accompanying batteries, blasting caps, wires, bottles, rags, petrol, and powder with instructions and detailed diagrams. Oh, easy for little gorillas. And on Christmas morning, I would walk the rain-wet streets with Tommy, conjuring whistle, and a bundle of weapons under my coat, scouring the town for mass-happy Catholics, saluting the local patrols as they slithered by on the slippery streets, till I rounded a corner and out of a rain-veiled lane would come a boy, the spit of myself, but a Dogan for certain, misshapen and grim as a Galway spud. I hated him on sight and sound, and reached for my gun to blow him off the face of Christmas, when suddenly he reached into his coat, whipped out his revolver, and we sprayed the street with a volley of shots so quick and so exquisitely wild that tinsel window shattered all down the block, and a half-dozen goose-goblin citizens fell forward into their Christmas dinners, concocting an Ulster recipe, brain-stuffing. The gunman, he and I, unharmed, ducked, and were gone before the echoes were. And when I got home as often as not, there was a crater where the dining room had been, and uncles like burst balloons, and aunts like broken teacups would be festooning the ruins of the feast. And I would squat amid the rubble and nibble bits of what I hoped was the turkey, carefully following the instructions for little gorillas, and produce what might be mistaken for a battery-powered nuclear device. Or I would go out my shiny new pistol cocked into the bogside with Tim and Dan and Mike and prowl the still streets, leaving little bullet holes in the fences and people. I bet people will think there's been provos. What would you do if you saw a provo coming down our street? I'd go like this, bang! I'd throw him over the railings and roll him down the embankment, and then I'd kick him behind the ear, and he'd pack it in. What would you do if you saw two provos, trenched coat and terrible provos, strode and strolled through the sputtering snow toward us as we passed Mr. Grogan's house? Let's post Mr. Grogan a firebomb through his letterbox. Let's write things on his walls. Let's write Mr. Grogan looks like a Dogan all over his front door. Or we walked by the fresh grave patchwork cemetery. Do the corpses know it's snowing? A bogside cabbage smelly fog drifted in from the docks. Now we were the crack troops of Cromwell, scouring the fens of Fermanagh, eagle-eyed and English armor-plated, and towering Catholics fled before us to hell or Connaught. And we returned home through the poor streets, where only a few children scrawled free derry on the charred walls and fired a few aimless rounds at us as we scampered across the bridge above the troopship bobbing docks. And then at home the uncles would be solemn and toast the queen and absent friends, which in this case meant half the family and most of the neighbors now deceased for the old cause. Bring out the tall tales now that we told, while the peat fire made fairy pictures of King Billy, his white horse like a ghost of flame, and the blazing battle of the burning Boyne, and the gory ghosts of slaughtered Sinn Feiners listened at the blacked-out windows, and the Tommy gun spirit of Michael Collins lay in ambush under the bed. I must climb to trembling in the dark. And I remember we went out terrorizing once, when there wasn't by chance a building burning to light the terrifying streets. Flush to the cobbles was a big brick house, and we stood before its black bulk with our safeties off, just in case, and all of us too brave to say a word. The wind came round stone corners cold and sharp as the blades of invisible bayonets. What shall we give them? The Protestant boys? No, Mike said. The old orange flute, and I'll count three. One, two, three, and we began to sing our voices high in the darkness round the house full of baby-eating Catholics for sure. In the county Tyrone, in the town of Dungannon, where many's eruption myself had a hand in. Then a big red roar, like the sound of a muzzle-loader that had not been fired for a long time, slammed against the door. A loud, old Gaelic gun blew shot through the keyhole, and when we stopped running, we were outside our house. The parlor was lit for Christmas, and everything was bright and clean and Protestant again. Perhaps it was a priest, Tim said. Perhaps it was the College of Cardinals, Dan said, who was always reading. Let's go in and see if there's any Gaelic night left, Mike said. And we did that.
The National Lampoon Radio Hour's traditional Christmas show will continue right after this commercial message.
Here's more of the National Lampoon Radio Hour
on XM Comedy 150.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
This is Santa Claus speaking to you from the North Pole. All this week, I'll be appearing at Clemson Brothers' 11th Floor Toyland to find out what you good little boys and girls want for Christmas. And as for you little bad boys and girls, well, my little helpers tell me you've had a whole year to shape up, and you blew it. So if you think you can fool old Santa with some crummy cookies and milk, you're barking up the wrong Christmas tree. Last Christmas, some of you may remember, I just slipped down your chimney and left big lumps of coal in your stocking. But this year, in accordance with the Federal Naughtiness Department's new hardline against disobedience in the playgrounds, I'm going to fill your stockings with red-hot coals. And then, me and my helpers are going to make you put them on. Ho, 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 ho. Then, we're going to tie you to the tree, connect your wee-wee to the light strings, and turn on the juice. Ha-ha! Then, if you're still being a cranky fuss budget, I'm going to take you up for a ride in my sleigh. And kick you out 3 miles above your house. Ha-ha-ha! Ho, ho, ho! But that's not all, boys and girls. You know those little candy canes in the cellophane you get from the shoe store? Well, I'm going to bang them into your ears with a hammer and make you walk barefoot on all those Christmas bulbs you broke last year. Not only that, boys and girls, but you're going to get some candy, too. Yes, 50 pounds of it that I'm personally going to force feed down your little gullet until you look like a Goodyear blimp. You know what else, boys and girls?
Surprise! We've landed in Zurich, Switzerland, where the cuckoo clocks and chocolate and wooden shoes come from. No, the wooden shoes come from Holland, don't they, boys and girls? Oh, but if we can only get off the plane, there'll be lots of wonderful Christmas sights to see. We've been here in the plane at Zurich International Airport for several hours, and Christmas Eve is drawing to a close. And when midnight falls on Christmas Eve, all the bells in all the bell towers all over Switzerland will start to chime. Won't that be thrilling if we can hear them? Now, Miss Joan tried to open the emergency exit beside her seat so that you boys and girls could hear the sounds of Christmastide in Switzerland, but the man with the gun came and stopped her. Yes, he's still here, children, and still playing his nasty trick. He says he wants the UN, that's the United Nations, boys and girls, to give him $10 million, or he'll blow up the airplane and everyone in it. I don't think he has the true Christmas spirit in his heart, do you? Christmas Eve, at the very stroke of midnight, the animals can talk, even as you or I.
Chickens had headaches.
Well, now you know.
Hey, did everyone notice that hole in the fence? You know, you can put your head through it and eat the grass.
Well, that's terrific.
That's great. I don't eat grass. I eat corn, because I'm a chicken.
Boy, oh boy, do I hate burdocks.
I chased a couple cars yesterday. I chased a Dodge Polara going about 45 miles an hour. And then I chased an Oldsmobile Cutlass going about also 40, 45, and a pickup truck.
Did you know I had 8 stomachs?
Really?
Last year I chased a Morris Minor.
No, I'm sorry. Did I say 8? I meant 9. You know, I have 9 stomachs.
What's the Morris Minor?
No, wait a minute. Maybe it's 8. Well, anyway, it's a lot of stomachs.
It's a little car. You know, I figured a sheepdog like yourself would know those things.
No, I'm not a sheepdog. I'm a sheep.
I beg your pardon. Isn't that funny? I always thought you were a sheepdog. You know, now you mention it, I never saw you bury a bone or anything like the other dogs.
No, I eat grass. I don't bury the grass or anything. I just eat it.
Hey, did I tell you about the hole in the fence?
Yes,
you did. Oh, no. I mean, about the other hole in the fence.
No.
Well, it seems the barbed wire got all rusted and broke, and now there's this hole.
You're listening to the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Someone just explained to me that the man with the gun is an Arab. It seems the Arabs don't celebrate Christmas at all, even though they live in the part of the Holy Land where there are no Jews. I think he's just joking about blowing up the airplane, don't you? He couldn't be serious. Yes! Sue will be outside in the fresh mountain air of Switzerland drinking hot chocolate and eating fondue to the chiming of the cuckoo clocks, while the gay Swiss peasants yodel from mountaintop to mountaintop, balancing in their clumsy wooden shoes.
You see, it's gonna be a merry, merry Christmas, a merry, merry Christmas for all good girls and boys. Can't you see the Christmas tree, its star is shining brightly, as Santa Claus so sprightly drops in with all his toys. You will tingle when Kris Kringle plays his jingle bell. It's brighter than the music of a million carousels. Can't you see it's gonna be a merry, merry Christmas? A very, 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 merry, very, merry, merry Christmas for you.
Oh, boy, three pretty girls.
Look at Howdy Doody. Come on and sing along.
Well, all right, girls, but about that song.
Yes?
It could be better.
It could?
Yep, you ought to have two words.
We should?
Oh, can't you see it's gonna be a Howdy Doody Christmas?
Sure!
A Howdy Doody Christmas for all the girls and boys. Can't you see the Christmas tree? Its star is shining brightly as Santa Claus so sprightly drops in with all his toys. You will tingle when Kris Kringle plays his jingle bells. It's brighter than the music of a million carousels. Can't you see it's gonna be a Howdy Doody Christmas?
A very, very
Howdy Doody.
Very, very
Howdy Doody.
Very, very
Howdy Doody.
Very, very
Howdy Doody
Christmas for you.
Do any of you bright children know the name of the mountains that we find in Switzerland? Yes, that's right, the Alps. We came in over the Alps in our airplane. That was the bumpy part where Miss Joan was feeling a little air sick, and the stewardess couldn't come and bring Miss Joan any nice warm milk to settle her stomach because she was tied up in a corner. Anyway, as it turned out, we didn't have enough fuel to get back over the Alps again, so here we are in Zurich. What fun to get an unexpected chance to visit colorful, picturesque Switzerland, the homeland of Heidi. Oh, I wish the UN would hurry up and send over the $10 million in unmarked Swiss francs. What do you say, boys and girls? Are you in a teensy tiny hurry to get some of that nice warm Swiss milk?
Be sure to tune in next week when the National Lampoon presents the beloved German Christmas tale, Gift of the Nazis. The heartwarming story of an impoverished concentration camp official who sells his electric torture machine to buy his wife a new set of lead-weighted thongs for her whip, only to find that she has sold the whip to buy him a new pair of electrodes for his generator.
Good morning, boys and girls, and a merry, merry Christmas to you. The man with the gun hasn't allowed us to get off yet. So I'll just take this opportunity to tell you a little about how all we passengers are celebrating Christmas on board, each in his or her own special way. Some are sleeping, some are talking together, some are just sitting and staring into space. And right opposite me, we can see a man reading the same week-old copy of Time magazine over and over again. So far, we haven't heard anything from the UN, but I'm sure we'll have some good news before long. Meanwhile, did you know that at this moment, children in far-off Brazil are sitting down to enjoy a nourishing meal of day-old care packages? Thank you.
Quiet down, kids. Settle down now. All of you take your seats. Come on now, quiet down. We have a real surprise for all of you children tonight, but we can't start till you're all quiet. Now, as I look out into the audience, I see a number of new faces that haven't spent Christmas with us before. So for their benefit, I'll explain what's going on. Every Christmas here at Sunnyvale Children's Shelter, a group of entertainers come. Entertainers who volunteer their time and talents to make our holidays a little more joyous. You old-timers out there will remember with fondness, I'm sure, the acts who have been here in the past. And you newcomers who have just been orphaned this year might have heard about them. But new or old, you're all in for a big treat. Because do you know who we have with us tonight? The National Lampoon Tones, that's right. Some of the people of the National Lampoon have formed a group, and they're here tonight, and they're going to perform for us. Now, I have their card here. I'll read it. It says that they're going to play a medley of songs that have telephone in the title, including All Alone by the Telephone, Leroy Anderson's The Telephone Song, Telephone Me That You Love Me, and Telephone Sam, You're My Main Man. So let's give them a warm Sunnyvale Shelter welcome.
Not an insane asylum, for heaven's sake.
Maybe we don't have parents, but that doesn't mean we don't have taste.
It stinks!
This place is bad enough without you coming in here. Give us a break, will ya?
Children, children, stop this disrespect. Stop it this instant.
We'll stop it. They stop. They're real terrible.
Real. It's the day after Christmas now, and Miss Joan is still busy finding out how people commemorate the holiday season aboard a jetliner stranded in Zurich Airport. Did you know that in Ireland, today is known as St. Stephen's Day? That's the day when boys and girls like you go from house to house asking for and receiving all kinds of good things to eat. Cookies and cakes and little candies and miniature tarts and pies. Lots of delicious things, all washed down by a sip of nice warm milk from their wooden shoes. Oh, what am I saying? Oh, I'm sorry, boys and girls. Miss Joan isn't feeling quite herself at the moment. You see, we've been having such a good time aboard this airplane that we haven't had a chance to have our Christmas dinner yet. And Miss Joan... Wait! I can see... Hold on. Some men in uniforms are driving toward the plane. They have seats and guns and... Wait! We're taxiing down the runway! Oh, the men in jeeps can't catch up. I think that they're shooting at our cars. Here we go now! Oh, my ears! We're taking off. We're on our way. We're going to visit some other country where the children will be celebrating the day after Christmas in a way very different from the way we've been observing the holiday ourselves. Maybe the Ukraine may have Christmas late there. Or is it early? But wherever we go, you can be sure we'll be taking the true spirit of Christmas.
show will continue right after this commercial message.
Special Yuletide treat coming up, but first, a list of the contributors to tonight's National Lampoon Radio Hour. They are in alphabetical order: Michael O'Donoghue, Bob Kishler, John Belushi, Henry Beard, Ann Beats, Holly Beard, Pat Bright, Chevy Chase, Bob Dryden, Robin Finder, Paul Ginsberg, Ellen Gross, Christopher Guest, Janice Hirsch, Judy Jacklin, Paul Jacobs, Sean Kelly, Doug Kenny, Brian McConaughey, Josh Moonshine, Alice Clayton, John Scanlon, Andy Simmons, Vernon Taft, Alicia Taylor, and George W.S. Crow, who threw a chair at me yesterday. This evening's holiday howl from the 1967 comedy classic, Senator Bobby's Christmas Party. Howdy Doody Christmas by Howdy and the Fontaine Sisters, and needless to say, the situations portrayed in the show are fictitious, as were the characterizations. You know, we hear a lot of talk nowadays about the so-called generation gap. And as far as I'm concerned, the only gap is between the ears of all those stick-in-the-muds who refuse to believe that the kids and grown-ups can not only communicate, but, more importantly, can also learn from each other. And to prove the point, we're going to play a new version of an old favorite that I'm sure will touch a few heartstrings of you oldsters, even though it's performed by one of today's top rock stars. I won't spoil the fun by telling you who it is, but I will say that he echoes the sentiments of all of us here at the National Lampoon as he sings Irving Berlin's Immortal White Christmas.
Wobbles the goose.
Yeah.